Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Tea and Murder, an Agatha Christie podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Tundy Norman. We are currently between seasons of the podcast, but we didn't want to leave you hanging for too long, so my producer, Kate Crichel, and I thought we would answer some listener questions. Thank you to everyone who submitted them. Hi,
Hello.
Kate. Hi, nice to have you here.
Yeah.
You're always here, so, but it's nice for you to be on the podcast with me.
So it's not just your voice.
Yeah, not just my voice. Kate, do you want to start out by sharing how you felt season one went?
Yes. I mean, I'm biased.
Yeah, a little bit.
I thought it was great. I never could have imagined the kind of feedback and engagement we got from all of you listeners. Like comments on our Instagram, emails, comments on Facebook, and also just like really great guests who were just interested in being on the podcast that we never thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
We thought that we were just going to make this kind of passion project for you and me to just like, you know, if you listen to our producer episode, you know that Becca and I are friends. We go way, way back. And we thought we would just like do something fun because Becca is a huge Agatha Christie fan and very knowledgeable. So we were like, this will be cool. And we had no anticipation of how much it would blow up.
We're
thankful to all of you for spreading the word and telling us what you think.
Yeah, every listener question that we got, both for this episode but also, you know, the emails that we get, the questions and the DMs on Instagram, it really means so much. And I love engaging with everybody because everyone is so interested and passionate, and it's great.
So thank you, and keep them coming,
please.
Yeah, but let's just dive right in and ask Becca about all the questions that came in through all of our inboxes.
Yeah.
So let's start with the most obvious one. Why do you like Agatha Christie so much?
That's a great question. What if I just said I don't? I don't even like, no. I love Agatha Christie. So I would say partly like all my guests, because I grew up reading Agatha Christie books, I was definitely on the, what I call the Enid Blyton to Agatha Christie train, pipeline, whatever you want to call it. I read all the, you know, Secret Seven, Famous Five books, and then I graduated to Agatha Christie books. And partly because there are so many, they just became a huge part of my life. And I found so much comfort in them. I found so much excitement in them. When you're, you know, 10, 11 years old, these books are quite intense, and murder is a concept that you only kind of are just dipping your toe into in terms of like consuming that type of content. So I do love the mysteries, obviously, but what always interested me more than that is the characters, Poirot and Miss Marple in particular. And because there are so many books, you kind of get to visit with them over and over again. You get to know them in a different way than you would with just one book or two books. And I really love how Christie pokes fun at kind of upper class British society while like still, you know, I'd say bowing to those mores, but she pokes fun at them through her characters, particularly Poirot and Markball. And I would also just say that for me, loving Agatha Christie is about loving writing. The sheer volume of her work means that you get to see her process book to book. So like not every book is that good. In fact, there are lots that I really don't like, but they all fit into this incredible universe that she's created, and you can kind of map the process. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So few writers that you can do that with.
Yeah, and just how prolific she was also.
Yeah.
It's just, her craft is just incredible, and the diligence that she had, and also the like inspiration and the sort of spontaneity of all the stories.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Amazing.
Like, who can match that?
When literally nobody can.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, Stephen King's pretty close, I think, with his number of novels now, but that's about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's move on to the next question. Okay. This is a great one because I wonder this myself, knowing all the hours that make up a day. Mm-hmm. Do you read anything other than Agatha Christie books?
This is such a crazy question because the idea of living in a world where I could only read Agatha Christie is so insane to me. I love Agatha Christie, but I love to read. I love books. So I am reading all the time. It is definitely when we're in season, I'm reading more Agatha Christie than I'm reading anything else probably, because I'm often reading potentially three Agatha Christies at once. So I would say at the moment, yes, I'm reading more Agatha than anything else, but no, I'm always reading, and I love all types of fiction, not just mysteries, but literary fiction, science fiction, historical fiction. I love nonfiction. I love memoirs about writing. I love graphic novels. Paper Girls is one of my favorite series. I'm reading a lot of stuff all the time. Kate recently turned me on to The Three-Body Problem, which gave me enormous climate anxiety at the beginning, but I'm getting through it and it's so good. And I actually need to get the second book from you. Yes. Some books I've loved recently are Shrines of Gaiety by Kate Atkinson. So good. And Shrines of Gaiety is just so good. And if you do like Agatha Christie, it's a great book because it's about London in the 20s. So great transition there. And I just started We Don't Know Ourselves, A Personal History of Modern Ireland by Fintan O'Toole. And it's fantastic. I mean, he's obviously an incredible writer.
And that's nonfiction?
That is nonfiction. It's a history of Ireland. And then next up on my bedside table is Dirtbag Massachusetts by Isaac Fitzgerald, which I've heard is amazing and I'm very excited to read. I'm from Massachusetts, as Kate is as well. Mm-hmm. So that'll be super fun. And I will also say that I read with my kids a lot, and my older son is now getting into chapter books. So we've been reading together, which is like the best thing ever. And he's not old enough for Christie yet, but we just read The Phantom Tollbooth together by Norton Juster. And it was a little bit old for him. He's 6 and a half, but he loved it. He loved it. And I loved reading it with him. And yeah, it's like the best thing ever to get to read with your kid and see them love it so much. So yeah, I'm always reading, and it's not always Christie's.
Yeah. And do you think he's going to become a big reader as well? Like you?
I do. I really do. And I'll tell you why. Because so we have been reading the famous Five and the Secret Seven books, and those are series books. And so there's all, you know, it ends and then there's another one. We read The Phantom Tollbooth and it ended. And he said, okay, well, tomorrow we'll start the next one. And I said, actually, this doesn't have another book. It's just one book. And he was so devastated. Aww. He started sobbing. Aww. And I started sobbing too, because I so could relate to that feeling of, I didn't want this book to end, and now it's over and the story is over. And, you know, I tried to explain to him, like, you can always go back to the book. The book's always there. And it's also, now it's in your head. You can always visit it there. And, you know, we talked through it and he processed it, but that's like, that moment of devastation was so visceral. Mm-hmm. And I said to him afterwards, I was like, you are a reader. That the amount that you love that book, like, that shows that you are going to be a reader. And he was like very proud of himself. So I think, yeah, I do think he's going to be a big reader.
Yeah. I mean, and if you are any sort of reader, you know that feeling of, yes, like something that you love that is ending. And you never get that excitement back of the first time.
Nope.
Even though you can revisit it, definitely. Mm-hmm. And you do that with Rick Christie all the time.
I do.
And you still, obviously, if you didn't get joy from it the second, third, 100th time that you've read something, you wouldn't do it. But it's nothing like the first time.
No, and especially an adventure book like The Phantom Tollbooth, you can never unknow it, right?
Yeah.
So just going on that adventure, and the adventure ends. And in the actual book itself, the adventure ends too. You know, Milo goes back home at the end. So I think it was a lot of feelings at once. And, you know, 6-year-olds have big feelings and expressing them is hard. And but it was a really special moment, actually. I so commiserated with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have kids around that age, Phantom Tollbooth.
Phantom Tollbooth. So good. I do think he was a little young for it, but we did a lot of like, this is what this word means, but like, it's fine. He really enjoyed the story.
Great. Yeah. Next listener question is about your favorites within the Christie oeuvre.
Yeah.
Which, can you rank some top fives?
No. I tried so hard. This listener question was so kind. I tried so hard to rank my top five. I could not do it. So I did 10 instead. I hope that's okay.
Overachiever.
Yeah. Underachiever, because I simply could not get to the sprint. You know, I had to do the long distance because I can't do the sprint.
Mm-hmm.
As a runner, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm not a runner. Anyway, so in no particular order, A Murder is Announced, Five Little Pigs, The 13 Problems, The Hollow, Murder at the Vicarage, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, Curtain, The ABC Murders, The Moving Finger, and An Appointment with Death.
Ooh, some heavy hitters there.
Yeah, and I have to say it was very hard for me to leave out The Labors of Hercules, which is another short stories book that I love. And similar to 13 Problems, it's a short stories book that has connective tissue throughout all the stories, which I really enjoy. And then some favorites that like aren't considered maybe her best work, but that I just love I love Bertram's Hotel. I read it all the time. It's like just such a comfort book for me. Cards on the Table, Death in the Clouds, which is like such a silly one, but I really enjoy it. And then the A Caribbean Mystery Nemesis like partnership. I really like those books as well. Yeah, so I guess all of them. It was like 20 books. I have a hard time choosing favorites, but if I had to like only read one ever again, it would probably be A Murder is Announced.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. And you know what's great about this list is that only a handful have actually been discussed on our episodes with guests.
I know.
It leaves a lot of open doors for future guests.
Yes, almost none of these have been... we did Moving Finger, ABC Murders, Five Little Pigs.
Yeah, and that's 13 Problems. Well, one of the stories.
One of the stories of 13 Problems, that's right.
Yeah, when we discuss Curtain, if we discuss Curtain, that's going to be pretty epic too.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope someone will discuss it with me. So many people don't want to read it.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Some of the guests have mentioned that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a good segue actually to the next listener question, mm-hmm. which is, will guests ever do the same book or is it one and done? What's our policy?
Our policy is I am totally open to guests doing the same book because I think every guest will bring something different to the book. They'll come with their own background and their own body of work or interests that will relate differently to some aspect of the book. It hasn't happened at this point. Every book that someone has asked to do has been a different book. So it hasn't come up. It hasn't been an issue, but I am totally open. Especially there are some books that are so kind of epic or iconic in the public eye about Christie that I think it would be a shame not to address them in multiple ways. And Then There Were None would be one of those. Five Little Pigs would be another one.
Yeah. Also because, you know, no two minds are the same. So of course there's going to be different lenses on each of those major stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we like hint if one of our guests is like, I don't know which one I want to talk about. Do you think on season 2 we could be like, well, these ones are open that haven't been discussed yet? Do you think that would be a good strategy?
Absolutely. Yeah. Whenever I reach out to guests or they reach out to me, I say that if you don't have a favorite or a book you'd like to discuss, I'd be happy to recommend one based on like what you do or your interests. And that's happened a couple of times and it's always worked out really well. So we do have a couple of really fun books coming up for season two. We have Mystery of the Blue Train is going to be talked about. We have Murder in Mesopotamia.
I will not talk about season two until we've recorded it.
Okay.
Because there might be a change of plan. Someone might drop out. And then we promise people a bunch of things.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah. That's fine.
We'll take that again.
Can you...
At first, I thought you were like, the Mystery of the Blue Train. No! I was like, oh my God, Winter hates that book.
I know we don't want to give any spoilers. Well, actually, this is a podcast that does spoil things. But in terms of our own spoilers, I don't want to give away too much about season two. But what can you tell us about what's coming up?
Oh my God, we have such a fun season two coming up. Instead of 14 episodes, we're going to be doing 10 episodes. Or I think we're going to be doing 10 episodes. You know, you never know what happens. There might be more, there might be less, but we've decided to do 10, and that feels a little bit more doable than the 14 we took on for this season. Mm-hmm. Every other podcaster I talked to was like, that's two seasons. 14 episodes is two seasons worth of episodes. So I think we maybe bit off a little bit more than we could chew in that way, simply because I didn't really realize that was so many episodes. And before we started doing the work, we didn't know how much work would be going into every episode. And now we know, and now we can make more informed decisions based on that. Mm-hmm. Producer Kate, sound engineer Winter, and I all have full-time day jobs. So this is a passion project for all of us, and we can only do, you know, so much, and we want to do it well. Mm-hmm. So that's really the aim for us. I'm not going to reveal any guest names ahead of time, but we have some really, really great mystery writers, some podcasters, and even an expert on jewelry as a narrative device, which I think is an amazing angle for books. So it's going to be really fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I've always liked about the approach we have to guests is, you know, the majority of the guests would probably fall within like the writing discipline in some ways, like, you know, nonfiction, mystery writers in general. But I really love that our approach isn't too limited to people in the literary world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I will also just to piggyback on what you just said about the sort of day jobs cadence of our lives.
Yeah.
Is that there is kind of this expectation for podcasting and the quote unquote industry, if you want to call it that, of this kind of like always on content.
Yeah.
And as a producer who's like been in podcasting in that world for about a decade, more or less, mm-hmm. I've seen the expectation come that like you always have to have episodes coming up.
Yeah.
Because people see it like TV.
Yeah.
So you have like, you know, mini series that might be 10 episodes on a TV series and then it's done. But like if you're on a big network show, you're producing 25 episodes a season.
Right.
And so like podcasting has sort of taken that format, shrunk it down because they think it's less labor intensive to make a podcast than a TV show, of course. But like the sort of like always on consuming of content has become the norm for podcasting. Yeah. And every 2 weeks you have a new episode, every week you have a new episode, whatever. You have daily podcasts now, which is crazy to me still that
Wild.
Exists.
Yeah.
So I think we want to make sure that the quality of our podcast stays high.
Yes.
And in order to do that, we're choosing to do a season break.
Yes.
So.
And we also want to make sure that our mental health stays high.
Yeah.
And, you know, that we give ourselves the time to take a break. We're all taking summer holidays. I'm taking a road trip with my kids and my husband. You guys are doing your stuff. Like, we need to have time that isn't also devoted to this.
Yeah.
And that's really healthy and great. Mm-hmm. But Kate, you've been talking a little bit about your knowledge of podcasting. Can you talk a little bit, because this was a listener question, about your past work and like how that has been different from Tea and Murder?
Yeah, I love this question. Thank you to the person who was curious about it. So I'm actually a marketer at heart. My day job is in marketing. And when I started in podcasting, it was always in marketing and audience development. Mm-hmm. So the first shows I worked on was really about like engagement and building audience. So the first podcast that I was so, so thrilled and like humbled to be a part of was a podcast called 70 Million.
Yeah, it's such a good podcast.
Yeah, it's a highly produced, narrative driven, sound designed, very beautifully made podcast about jail reform at the local level in the US. So what sort of community based organizations and just grassroots initiatives are helping try to fix the messed up criminal justice or criminal injustice system in the United States.
Yeah.
So I was doing some marketing for them. And then I also worked on a podcast called The Mid Pod, which was about the 2018 midterm elections in the US. Right. It was kind of like a road trip travelogue about all of the different ways in which midterm election grassroots campaigns were going. So I had a very like grassroots kind of approach to audience development too. But then when I moved to Copenhagen, then I sort of like dipped my toes into more of the sort of producing side and the hosting also. So was working with the Mixed Copenhagen LGBTQ plus film festival podcast.
It's a great festival. Shout out to Mix. Yeah.
Yeah, Mix is awesome. It's our local festival here in Copenhagen for queer film. And we wanted to do a companion podcast. So we worked on that and talked about basically stereotypes and tropes in queer films.
It was called Coming Out of the Celluloid Closet.
Correct. Yeah.
Great podcast. Recommend. Thank you.
But what's different about Tea and Murder is that this is a podcast where not only is it like a passion project with me and a really close friend of mine who just has incredible expertise that I just get inspired by every day. But what I love that's different about this podcast is that like, I think I have more of a role in kind of helping shape the arc of the season than I've had in other roles, either on the marketing or hosting side, which is like listening to a guests, the guest interviews that you conduct with your amazing guests, thinking about how it fits in the overall strategy of what we want to talk about, how we want to tell our story, giving notes immediately afterwards, thinking about like how to tease out your skills and your hosting abilities in a way that's engaging and like helps build audience and everything.
Yeah.
But weirdly enough, I'm not doing a lot of the marketing side for this podcast.
Yeah.
Because you are clued in to the communities. So you're the one on Instagram and Facebook and like announcing our next episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's me.
Thank you for that information. It's just incredible how many different angles of podcasting you've been involved in, which all kind of feeds into your level of knowledge, and that it's every single element has been so helpful in this podcast.
Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, I also couldn't do it without Winter, because like sitting with Winter and like watching them edit and mix the episodes and, you know, adjust levels and make sure it actually sounds great is like a huge component that should not go like underrepresented.
Absolutely. And not only the amount of time it takes, but the kind of being clued in to what you're actually listening for. There was so much in when Winter and I originally sat down that I didn't know I should be listening for. And that's an incredible like skill set that Winter brings as well.
Agreed.
So I think every component that's been brought to the table by Winter and by you, Kate, has been like invaluable. This just wouldn't be what it was, has been.
Yeah. But I mean, hats off to Christy.
Yeah, I think we should all thank Agatha Christie for her work.
She's creating industries long after her death.
Yeah. So we're going to wind down, and I know we're running out of time, Kate, but I would love to hear about this story that you told me recently about going to the US and finding something that really just ties, I think, is like a full circle moment you in this podcast.
Yes. So I was home for Christmas and was just like rummaging through some old papers in my desk from seventh grade, something like that.
Yeah.
And I discover a laminated book report about, and then there were none, with like hand-drawn doodles.
Yeah.
And I had to like make one summary
Wasn't there
page.
Like a little, like a knife with blood or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I drew a cover that was like, and then there were none, a book report. And then each of the chapters, I had to do a one-page summary that like talked about what was happening, made a doodle of like the main point in that chapter, and then had to do a vocabulary word.
Amazing. So you have been training for this podcast since, I mean, your youth.
So I was 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, weirdly, I completely forgot about that. I had no recollection of
ever
making that.
Yeah, you sent me a picture of it. You were like, you will not believe what I just found.
So maybe we can like offer this as some sort of like custom merch or something.
Yeah.
If you want a picture of my stupid book report.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll post it on Insta or something so people can see. It's really, really well done. I mean, Kate is a perfectionist. Even at that age, you could see that you are a perfectionist. So I think people will enjoy it. It's really cute.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think that was all the time we had for today.
It is. And you know what? We actually have a bunch more listener questions. So we didn't get through all of them. Time flies when you're talking about Agatha Christie, I guess. So should we do another episode, do you think?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. You have to sit through another episode. So we'll be back very soon with the next round of listener questions. And keep an eye on your podcast feed. But thank you so much for everyone who submitted a question. There were so many, so many interesting questions. And I just really appreciate the engagement and people's curiosity.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Becca. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks, Winter. Bye. Thank you to our producer, Kate Crichel, and our sound engineer, Winter Robinson. If you want to support this podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at TNMurder. You can rate and review us on iTunes, and you can tell all your friends and even strangers to follow us on your podcast platform of choice. Thanks for joining us for this episode of TNMurder. We hope you got a bracing dose of both.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.